every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back Arizona, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the Outdoor Living Hour, third Saturday of the month. We're in the nursery with Jay Harper, and we are just 3 days away from winter officially starting. We'll be talking about covering and frost protecting your plants, but how about that moon?
Yeah. Woo! Isn't that nice?
And it's not full till tonight.
Oh, it's
sure,
tonight?
Okay. It sure looked like it this morning,
yeah,
but it is... It's called the Cold December Moon. I was reading about it on Farmer's Almanac this morning. And they also call it the Long Winter Moon because this is the longest night of a full moon before our days start getting longer again.
Well, the days sure have gotten short. The daylight, anyway.
I can't even
days
get
you're
home.
Work, you're working the day that you're working at in the dark now is longer.
Oh, I get home and it's already dark. It feels weird. It's like, is it time for bed already?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does kind of do some weird stuff to your energy level, doesn't it?
It's hard to get up in the morning
yeah.
when it's dark for, you know, you're already at work for an hour and it's still dark. It's just weird.
Tough to get going, but it's, you know, it's, boy, it's just been beautiful. What a fall.
Oh, the weather's been fabulous. Yeah. We got a little rain last week.
Yeah.
All the trees are just that different color of green, just a slight change, but it's there.
It's yeah, we had some moisture and looks like maybe some chances right on through the end of the year for a little rain here and there. So let's hope.
Now, what do we have to be concerned with on our garden on protecting?
Well, probably watching the temperatures and the forecast and for cold. If you have things in your garden still that are not technically winter vegetables. So if you're still sneaking some tomatoes through or peppers or maybe some basil or something like that, all of that stuff would certainly need to be protected if that's still in your vegetable garden. You know, the normal winter crops that we grow, the leafy greens and the root crops and things like that don't need, you know, for a frost, they don't need any protection. Maybe a hard freeze, but so if you're still sneaking some kind of warm weather stuff through, you'll have to cover. If you've got tender subtropical or tropical things in your landscape, lantanas and bougainvilleas and hibiscus and those types of things, yeah, again, a little frost, natal plums, another one. You know, a little frost might tinge them a little bit, might not hurt them too bad. If we get colder and there is an actual freeze warning, then you'd want to cover or pay attention to those things in your garden. Make sure you cover using a lightweight kind of porous cloth type material. You know, everybody's probably seen that, you know, the frost cloths have become pretty easily obtainable and pretty easy to obtain. Don't use plastics, tarps, things like that. I'd rather you not use burlap, but it's okay in a last resort. At least it's breathable. You know, if you have a choice, it's got to be breathable. If you got the old blankets and sheets out, that's okay. The nice thing about the frost cloths is they're lightweight, and they emit some light through them, so you don't have to take them off. You know, if you leave them on for several days straight through, it's okay. The things that are heavy, like blankets and burlap, if it gets wet and those things, you know, can do some damage if they're wet and heavy and laying on the plants for very long. Plus, it's dark, which plants don't particularly like for too long a stretch. So, you know, that's the basics. I haven't seen anything in the forecast that leads me to believe we've got to really watch citrus and things like that.
I got a question for you. Was at a client's home looking at a bathroom remodel. And so we kind of finished talking our way through that. And she says, Rosie, I want to show you something in the garden. I said, why do you? I said, you must not listen to the show. But in her garden, it looked like to me she had about a dozen volunteer 4-inch tall tomato plants. And she wanted to know, do I just let them go? I mean, do I protect them? And do I let them grow till next spring?
Well, certainly she could let them grow, but she would you definitely want to protect them, especially very small ones like that.
Okay. Got a little bit of a head start, doesn't
Well, and you know, yeah, but if you're going to plant tomatoes from seed, you know, about Christmas time till about the middle of January is the time to do that, because you want to start planting, you know, transplants of tomatoes in early February.
Okay.
So
well, I think these were all volunteers from the compost pile.
Probably.
That's what it looked like to me.
Well, if you do compost, tomato seeds do not compost very easily. They stay
fertile
through a lot of things. I won't describe some other things that they stay through. But
let's just say they're sturdy.
They're sturdy, and they do come up, you know, like that if you've compost. So, yeah, why not let them come on through? But you know, get some good frost cloth, and in her case, I might build a semi-permanent covering, something with a little wood frame, so the cloth isn't actually on the plants. Get them up and actually leave them on. back in the day, I can remember my grandpa planting tomato plants, and they'd use a hot cap, which was like a wax paper product, and it looked like a little cap. And you actually put them, we planted the plant, you put the cap on, you put a little dirt around the lip or the edge of it to hold it in place. And then as the plants even grew, as they might hit the roof of that, they would just slit the sides. And that made like a little mini greenhouse around those. And they'd leave those on until the plants actually just outgrew them and then pull them off. So in her case, I probably would leave something like that on permanently till the danger of frost was over or the plants had gotten big enough that they didn't need it.
All right.
Well, if you don't have frost cloth now, it's the time to buy it. Because as soon as it hits, the stores get cleared out, you know, for obvious reasons. We don't stock and supply a lot of frost cloth in Arizona. And what is available goes pretty quick.
It can, yeah. You know, if you're an avid gardener and you have a decent vegetable gardener, or you have a few really prized maybe hibiscus or things that are going to need cover, just have some on hand. Go buy a couple packs, put them in the storage room or the closet. They don't really go bad, and it keeps, and you can keep it for a number of years. So, you know, just have some on hand. A little tip with that stuff, though, when you're done with it, you know, lay it out and get it good and dry before you roll it up and put it away for the season. You know, you don't want it getting, you know, it can get kind of moldy and fold it up good, dry it out good. We had the nursery. We reused it for many years, sometimes 4, 5, 6 years. It will start to then kind of decompose, for lack of a better word, you know, kind of falls apart after a while. But it takes a number of years for that to happen.
If you'd like to join the conversation, talk to Jay Harper about your landscape garden, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we're talking landscape gardening. We're going to cover over frost protection, because hopefully we will get a couple good cold nights. Always
get rid of the darn mosquitoes. I still got mosquitoes.
Exactly. Kill that mosquito and fly population down a little bit. We could use a good hard freeze, just if nothing else, just for that.
Yeah, I had one buzzing by my ear sitting in the house last night. It's like, golly, the heck?
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Now, for winter lawns, we had a question in this week. Actually, it was a text question last Saturday that I saved for this week. Somebody wanted to know, do I need to mow my winter lawn before I fertilize it?
Well, probably. If it's ready to be fertilized, you would want to mow it first, then apply the fertilizer after you. So you don't just sometimes, if you capture your clippings, if you catch them in a catcher and you put fertilizer on there and you go out and mow it, you could potentially just pick up your fertilizer and your clippings and dispose of them. So I would mow it and then just come right behind it and fertilize it and water it in good. If it's a few days apart, if you fertilized it on, you know, Monday or Tuesday and you wanted to mow Friday, that would be okay. But I just wouldn't do it, you know, right after you'd done it.
It's a very small percent. But my thought was, well, why would you fertilize something that you're just getting ready to mow? Mow it first so what the plant that's left is the plant you want and it's getting all the fertilizer and stuff.
Well, yeah, there's something to be said for that too. And that's another actually reason to not – I quit picking up grass clippings years ago because most of it's water anyway. And why would you want to have those new – you know, you're cutting off a plant and there's nutrients and nutrient value in that stuff you're cutting off. Just let it pick up. Now, you have to mow your lawn frequently enough that you don't end up with, you know, a bunch of windrowed material, you know, up on top of the grass. Or you have to go over it a couple times to kind of get that all, you know, chopped up and spread around. But, you know, I just don't pick them up. So that solves that problem as well. Speaking of, you know, frost and winter lawns, you get a frost or two, you'll find out how good a winter lawn you've got. You know, how much of that lawn you're looking out there that's green is actually winter ryegrass and how much of it is actually Bermuda. The Bermuda will finally go dormant and the ryegrass will not, and you'll see how good a stand you have. If we get cold enough, ryegrass will even start to yellow out. So it's a good idea to keep it fed so it doesn't yellow out on you. Because once they yellow out and it's cold and wet and damp, it can be kind of hard to green them back up again.